listening to Not So Live from Asteroid G, stuck in the Batcave when we wanted to do Carnage in Gotham City. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
And your buddy Mike the Ghoul here, gonna talk some really cool stuff today. I've got a great movie villain.
The Joker. Movie, television, cartoons, comic books. The Joker's interesting, because... Yeah. I mean, you can take the simple pop psychology, shallow look at him and say, well, he's the flip side of Batman, so that's why he works so well. He works on a number of levels, and whether he's the flip side of Batman or not, he works because he does things that other villains don't do and functions in ways that other villains can't. The Joker on screen is an interesting force, unlike basically any other villain that you're ever going to see. And I think... Before we discuss specific ones, I think the thing I like about the Joker is that he's different from Batman. When you go and you watch various other superheroes, you always get a villain that's basically the hero, but bad. I mean, look at, like, Iron Man and Ironmonger, the Flash and Reverse Flash, and Zoom, and every other fucking speedster that was on the goddamn show and in the movie. You could do it for anyone. How many times did Supergirl fight Kryptonians on her series? How many fucking times has, like, a Marvel hero come out and had to fight their exact clone? You know, I have the 10 rings under my control. I have to go fight my daddy who also has them. Like, very rarely do you get a villain that is completely different from the superhero. And that's the Joker. About the only two things that he has in common with Batman is that he... like, is interested in the psychology of Gotham, and also that he made himself.
Yeah. He, you know, interesting point there. You know, you really think about how many heroes have, you know, that villain, that main villain, that's not just, like, you know, the other side of the same coin, not the same guy, just, like, bizarro, you know, kind of thing.
Yep.
Joker, really, he doesn't have superpowers. He doesn't have, you know, Bruce Wayne's bankroll to make all these cool gadgets and toys. You know, he does it with, you know, just sheer chaos and apathy toward everything and just trying to get people to do things for him. He's crazy. And he really personifies crazy.
He does. And I think that can be taken too far. But I think when it's done right and he hit it in the sweet spot, you realize that he personifies it, chaos, craze, whatever you want to do. But he's not really crazy. The best Jokers are the ones that are perfectly stone-cold sane, and that's why they decide that the world needs to be shaken up.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's been some really fantastic actors who have played this role.
Mm-hmm.
Some great voice actors, too. And there's, you know, call me crazy, but I'm excited to see what the next Joker is going to be in the next Batman movie that's coming out. I was very intrigued by that deleted scene in the most recent Batman to kind of see that relationship. It's a different take that I'm very enticed in to see. It looks very interesting to me.
You know my feelings on the new Batman. Like, it's depressing, and all he does is mope in the Batcave listening to Nirvana and The Cure. And I need something more from my Batman. But I am at least interested to see where that franchise goes, because it is still better than The Joker with its fucking Falea Du coming out. Oh my god, I hated that movie so much. But before we get to that...
I haven't even bothered to watch it yet.
Before we get to that, we can discuss all the shit Jokers that we've had over the years, because there have been plenty. But who is better? Mark Hamill's animated Joker or Heath Ledger's live-action Joker?
Oh, that is so very not a fair question.
That's the question that's at the heart of the matter, though, is it not?
Yeah, it really is. Because you can argue, you know, Heath Ledger's Joker and Jack Nicholson's Joker, and you'd be right either way, probably. Mm-hmm. But Mark Hamill, man, his voice brought something to that character that, like, was just...
Mm-hmm.
It brought him alive, and that's saying something for an animated series. I'm gonna have to probably say Heath Ledger just because. But it's such a tough call. I mean, Mark Hamill did amazing things, and he'll always be my animated Joker to this day.
Well, this is the thing about the Mark Hamill Joker. He, like, when he came out and he did it, 1992 was when that series debuted. There weren't a lot of Jokers to draw from that were on screen. You had the comic book one, and then you had the goofy Joker, God, I can't remember the guy who played him, from
Cesar
like the night...
Huh?
Cesar
Romero.
Thank you! Who refused to shave his mustache, so they had to paint the mustache. Like, I mean, that's a fucking baller move. Come on.
Yeah. I could just see him doing that, like sitting on set, and they're like, "Caesar, time to shave." He's like, "Fuck you! Give me my wine. I don't want to shave. Just paint over it." Like, then, you see that
God. For them to go okay and then paint it white when yeah. Joker's hair is green. I'm like, this is. I mean, Cesar Romero, that was a baller move. But, so you had Cesar Romero's, and all the characters on the Batman from the 1960s were just goofy. They weren't their comic book selves.
No.
Then you had Jack Nicholson.
Very kitschy.
And then you had the Jack Nicholson Joker, which is great for the movie he was in. Yeah. But let's be clear, Tim Burton had absolutely no interest in actually making a Batman movie. He didn't adapt the comics, he just did his own thing.
Yeah, and it's one of the few times I can think of, you know, offhand, that Tim Burton did, like, a random like this, and it kind of worked.
Kind of.
You know, because Jack Nicholson did a... You hit it out of the park with your casting, Tim Burton, and you probably got lucky there.
He was forced to hire Jack Nicholson so that they had a celebrity, and Jack Nicholson made bank. He got paid a lot up front, and then also negotiated, like, licensing rights on the merchandise. Mm-hmm. So he got paid... for years on that, and that was a lot. The merchandise made more than the movie did, and the movie made $500 million. So, yeah. That was solid. So it's almost as good of a deal as Marlon Wayans negotiated for playing Robin in Batman Returns. Remember, Robin's not in Batman Returns, but his contract paid him for it, and then he got, like, licensing for all the Robin appearances in those films afterwards.
Yeah.
So, like, it's... Some of the celebrities got some good deals in there. But yeah, no, Jack Nicholson negotiated himself a great contract and Tim Burton had to take it. But that's not really... Like, when you look at Batman and how Batman's really supposed to be, that whole series of four movies, they're not Batman movies. Not truly.
No.
So, for Mark Hamill to create such a quintessentially definitive Joker, I mean, up against Kevin Conroy's definitive Batman, no less...
Yeah.
And he did it basically on his own, because who do you have to draw from? Jack Nicholson and Cesar Romero? Those aren't Jokers.
No. He created kind of what you know the TV-branded Joker to look like today. That goofy but in control psychopath that just he has a plan, but always just manages to get foiled by his own undoing half the time.
He defined the voice acting for Joker in the same way that Kevin Conroy defined it for Batman. Like, when you hear someone doing a Batman voice, they're all trying to mimic Kevin Conroy. When you hear someone doing a Joker voice, which character people are still playing it and Mark Hamill doesn't want to, they all seem to go to the same well. Like, oh, I'm going to mirror my thing after Mark Hamill's version. And they never do as good a job, but you see the influence.
Yeah, and not a bad decision to try to recreate that, but, I mean, you can't.
No, you can't. But then you get Heath Ledger's Joker, and that's an interesting take because it's not at all influenced by Mark Hamill. Like, it's a different, very grounded take, and, like, all the things that are interesting about Heath Ledger's performance were basically devised by him and Christopher Nolan so they could make their own character.
Yeah, and the lore of that Joker to this day is still just so... captivating. Like, you do not know who he is. You have great theories out there. Like, is he a PTSD, like, you know, war veteran that had some things happen to him? Is he just, like, you know, a guy that was born bad? You know, you don't know who he is, and that kind of just draws you into, like, the mystique of him. Like, he could be just anybody, and you don't know.
No, and that's the thing. Like, I think we've discussed this interpretation before. Especially if you watch the interrogation scene.
Yeah.
It does seem like Joker knows what he's doing at, like, that military interrogation level. He basically counter-interrogates Batman the whole time.
Yeah.
And you only know how to do that if you're trained to do it. So he's got Justice Department or military training in counter-interrogation. And he,
CIA type shit.
Yeah, he guides the whole interview. And it's interesting. And then you notice the number of times he does that. Like, his fluctuating backstory. Not only... does it make him seem weird and unpredictable? It also means that he leaves no clue about where to start looking for him and who his past, like, where he, who he might have been in his past, you know? Like,
great line from that movie that Jim Gordon says is like, what is the idea? He's like, nothing, no prints, no nothing, just nothing in his pockets but, you know, lint and blades. Like, you do not know who this guy is. Like, he just don't know.
You don't know. Yeah, no, none of his clothing has tags. Everything's custom done but cheap. He doesn't care about money. He doesn't care about anything. Like, all the carnage he can do can be done with, like, a couple of thugs and, like crowbars and gasoline. Like, yeah.
Some great lines in that movie. You know, you're talking to Harvey Dent. He's like, look what I did to this town with a couple of cans of gas and a few bullets.
Yep.
Like, that was all it took to drive the Gotham City crazy.
Yep.
You know, doing more with less. That's Joker.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I think he's just feeding on that movie, on the chaos that Batman is kind of low-key starting on his own. And he just shows that Batman's whole motivation seems a little off. And that's something that most Batman stories don't really point out. The idea that he, like, they'll say, oh, you created the villains you're fighting. Sure, yes, but, like, he also basically created the atmosphere that he's fighting in.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Someone with his level of money and resources could have gone on and used that to fight the gangsters and powered the criminal justice system and done whatever he wanted. He could have started his own law firm and fought them that direction with, like, high-paid security defending him at all times. Instead, he decided the best thing to do was train in Tibet and then put on a bat suit. Like,
vigilante justice, at
yeah,
the best.
Like, that is what he felt he had to do. And it shows that, you know, as much as he's saying he's trying to clean up Gotham, he is the cause of Gotham the way it is at that point.
It's really, like, that's the theme of The Dark Knight, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, this came from what you did.
You did this.
You brought this upon yourself because you put the criminals in a corner. Alfred says it.
Yeah.
You put them in a corner, and they turned to somebody they didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
That is what you created, and you had the best intents, Bruce. You did.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I don't think the comics, like, tap into that as much. They'll do their own thing about it, but they are very comic books. The movies distilled that idea from the comics and made it its own life, and it's really interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's why I think the Heath Ledger Joker is the best. It is sad that he died. I would have loved to have seen his character come back in The Dark Knight Rises. I'm interested to know what could have happened with him. They'll never say, but I'm interested to know. But definitely, like, he's definitive for his own thing, to the point that no one can mimic him.
He's a standalone Joker in his own kind of stratosphere. Like, mm-hmm. You can argue the best Joker in film, and you can go back and forth and whatnot, but he really does kind of just have his own level. And good point. It's sad that he's not with us now to kind of continue that, but maybe there's a twisted place where he wouldn't have been as legendary if he survived. And you just don't know. His role and his, you know, what he brought to that character really took off after he passed away because of the effort and everything he put into that. And it's sad. But I think that his death also kind of led to a lot of, like, the legend that he is.
For sure, I don't think the Academy would have put him up for the award if he hadn't died. Because,
That I'll agree with you.
Yeah, they don't appreciate comic book movies. They wouldn't have given him the role as much as he deserved it for that and for Brokeback Mountain before that. Yeah. And I think part of it wasn't just awarding him it for that, but also because he died and because of Brokeback Mountain, which they realized afterwards they should have given him the award for. Like, it's a lot of factors that went into it. But I don't think they do any of that if he didn't die first.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Mm-hmm. It's sad because his performance is absolutely legendary.
Stellar. The best. Like, the one of the best villains in any comic book movie ever. It's hard to think of someone who, like, gets so in the role and embodies it so well and does so much with the character. The visual tics, the verbal tics, the way he delivers his lines, all of that. And, I mean, he even directed a part of the movie. That whole sequence where Joker kidnaps that fake Batman and tortures him, that was all Christopher Nolan just letting Heath Ledger take the camera, write his own script, and do his own thing for that, and then putting that back into the movie.
Yeah, and I will challenge people to this day. I mean, when did The Dark Knight come out? 2008? So, like, 16 years ago. I challenge you. Go watch that again and just pick out how you can tell that is Heath Ledger. There is literally two scenes in that movie where I can tell that's Heath Ledger.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, he just looks like some other character.
The Joker,
you do not know who he is. Like,
it's
when he takes his hat, his wig off inside and talking to Dent when his hair is, like, you know, not all messed up yet. And there's another scene at the end when he's talking to Batman where it kind of looks like Heath Ledger. Other than that, it is a completely different person, and he lived that role.
Mm-hmm. He did. And then we have Jared Leto.
You want to talk about putting your all into a role and getting shit out of it?
Oh my god. He says he went method. He sent people awful presence, like dead animals and used condoms, because he's like, this is what the Joker would do. This is someone thinking their method and fundamentally misunderstanding, one, the acting method, and two, the character they're playing.
in a way, I'm okay with his character being, like, in its own, like, bizarro universe of Gotham. Like, this is a strange Joker in this strange kind of place.
Mm-hmm.
But to bring him in and put him in a conversation with Nicholson and Ledger, they do not belong in the same bar to have that conversation.
No. The thing is, I think he is very much a Zack, even though Zack Snyder didn't direct Suicide Squad, he is very much the Zack Snyder Joker, because he as an actor, and the script writing for him and everything, fundamentally misunderstands the Joker, much like Zack Snyder fundamentally misunderstood Superman and Batman in his movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, take the Beacon of Hope, who grew up on Earth and feels that he is an Earthling in every way he can be, aside from the fact that he has superpowers, and instead make him into an alien demigod that doesn't care about humanity at all. Yeah. And then take the guy who stalks the night to preserve life because he thinks guns are bad and all life is worth saving, and give him guns and have him kill people.
Yeah.
Zack Snyder didn't understand these characters, and then Suicide Squad basically just continues that.
DC is still recovering from this shit to this day.
Yeah, no.
We've talked about that before.
The only way to save the DCEU was to reboot it into the DCU and have someone who actually understands the characters doing all these fucking movies. Oh my god. But yeah, Jared Leto's Joker is an abomination. Like, I would consider Joaquin Phoenix's Joker to be the worst were it not for Jared Leto being, like, 8 or 9 fucking stories deeper, you know?
Jared Leto, like, he was an interesting kind of character in the movie. He was, like, a psychopath that, like, but he wasn't the psychopath that Heath Ledger was. Mm. You know, he wasn't that in-control kind of guy. He just was, like, I'm damaged. Yeah. I have a tattoo on my forehead. Like, okay.
I think if they'd had a C-list character, like, running the gang, like, if they'd had Jared Leto come in and be like, hey, play Calendar Man, then I might have been better with it. There's plenty of, like, C-grade characters that they could have used as the leader of this, and, I mean, obviously it wouldn't have Harley Quinn. We'd have to have some other gang ball there instead. But, like, he plays just basically a generic crazy gangster who gets jealous and kills people. That's not the Joker. Like, for him to be anyone else probably would have been fine. I might have even accepted him as just, like, a dumb riff on the Riddler. Like, better than that. Like, how you can't, at least the only one you have to base your performance on is fucking Jim Carrey. Like, yeah. Ugh. But no, it's just that the Joker is a character we understand better, and who has a specific MO and a specific style, and Leto just did none of that.
He didn't. And, you know, I don't like to shit on people's, you know, professions too much. I'm not an actor. I don't make that kind of money. He makes a lot more money than me. But it's just a bad portrayal of a legendary character. And it hurts a little bit, because when I heard Leto was going to play this role, like, I knew how he got into acting and some of the things that he did for his roles. And I'm like, wow, this could be pretty cool. And, you know, the whole method thing leading up to it, I'm like, oh, this could be pretty neat. And then it comes out and I'm like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He is not the reason that Suicide Squad is bad, because he's barely in it. But he is definitely the worst Joker, and he is one of the many reasons why Suicide Squad doesn't work on any level.
Agreed.
So, I don't know if you've still had a chance to watch the new Joker, the one that Folia Doe isn't out yet, so technically it's the newest one. Joaquin Phoenix's Joker, who we've discussed before. I hate this movie.
I still can't make it through the first hour, man.
Okay, see, so at least you've tried.
I have.
It's depressing, it's fucked up, and I still don't understand what the message is that they're trying to tell me, besides, let's glorify a sociopath, which, like, okay, I get it, it's a Joker movie, but at the same time, like, when you do a villain story, you have to have something more than, we're just glorifying him.
Again, I haven't had a chance to watch all this, but it really, to your point, seems like it's taking the villain and turning him into the hero. And, you know, the people rally around him. That, I guess, part of that is Gotham City in a way. But at the same time, like, you don't have anything to counteract this guy, from what I understand. And it's the story of how he becomes who he is and the shit he goes through. And granted, I've seen him go through a little bit of shit in the first hour of the movie that I watched, but maybe it was a fantastic performance, but it was too boring for me to get to the point where the performance maybe meant anything.
His performance is great as someone who can become a killer sociopath, a crazy killer sociopath. Not necessarily the Joker, but crazy killer sociopath. The thing is, to sell the idea that he's the villain that Gotham deserves, and to use Dark Knight terminology, but I think that's kind of what they were going for. Gotham deserves him. He deserves Gotham. To be able to sell that idea, and that somehow he's going to come along and cleanse Gotham and remake it in a different form. One, you kind of need Batman around, which they don't have. But two, you also need to make Gotham a character. Like, there are ways that you can make a city into a character to make it feel like a living organism that the characters are experiencing and that's feeding off of them and back and forth. They almost kind of did that in the first of the Dark Knight movies, Batman Begins, because the Gotham feels like a very weird, eclectic style of thing, you know? But
the best Gothams are the Gothams that feel like a character in the movie.
Yes, exactly. And Joker doesn't have that. For him to feed off of Gotham, Gotham has to be something we understand. We barely see any of the city. We just kind of see a couple shots that make it look like Chicago, and then we see some characters that are shitty. But we don't get a feel for the city as a whole. And since the city is supposed to rally up and come to him and make him into their hero, quote-unquote, we have to understand the city. We never get that. We just get some MRA dudes and a crappy sociopath. I don't know. It doesn't work for me. It just doesn't work for me. Joaquin Phoenix is fine in the role. He plays the shitty, crazy, sad sack perfectly. I kind of get why people can like him, but he's not Joker.
Man, I'm going to get through it. I'm going to try.
One day.
We can have a conversation without you leading this with this movie. I'm going
to
do it.
One day. You'll get through it just in time for you to not be able to finish the second movie. And then we can just not discuss that one instead.
Probably. You're probably not wrong there, but I'm going to try for you, my friend.
I feel bad for the people in it because Joaquin Phoenix is trying. Zazie Beetz is great in there. Like, there's ideas that I like. But, okay, so here's the biggest issue.
Put the name Joker on it. What if they gave him some other name? Would it be better?
Maybe. Like one of the other sociopaths. The problem is the fact that we can understand those other ones because they have backstories. Why are you giving a backstory to the Joker?
Isn't that like the mystique of the character too? Didn't we just discuss? Isn't that what made Heath Ledger great?
Well, and that's the thing. Like in The Dark Knight, he uses the line, "You want to know how I got my scars?" He says that three times. He does it twice where he actually gives an elaborate story for it. And that ties into the mythology. There's more than one of these, but the one that I'm thinking of is there was the Encyclopedia of the DC Universe, and every character got a page or two pages or whatever, showing us their backstory, all the things that came into making them a character. And then you get to the Joker, and his page is broken into four quadrants, and you get four different backstories for him. Because you don't know where he comes from, and not all of them even came from comics. They're just random shit the authors made up, because that's how the Joker works. You're never supposed to know where he just magically appears in Gotham, like the thing that was birthed from it.
Right.
Like fucking Anakin Skywalker for the dark side of Gotham, you know?
Really, you don't know where he comes from, and that's what makes him so, dare I say, relatable as a character, right? You know?
If Batman is defined by his backstory, everything that happened to him as a kid created the man that we know. The whole point of Joker as the flip side of Batman, which, you know, pop psychology, whatever, is that we never know who he is. We're not supposed to know who he is because his backstory doesn't define him. The lack of backstory is what makes him interesting, the exact opposite of Batman. The Joker movie ruins that. We know who the fuck he is, and I don't care about him at all. He feels like the guys in Gotham, the two different characters played by the same actor in Gotham, neither of which are named Joker, but both of which are clearly inspiring Joker. And the whole implication of them was that they weren't Joker, but they could lead to the next Joker, you know?
Yeah,
he feels like that. He's the guy that is then going to inspire someone down the road to become the true Joker. But they call him Joker, and now in the second movie they're giving him Harley Quinn, and I'm so mad. Yeah. Oh my fucking god. I could rant about this for a while. I don't think we need to, though.
Yeah.
Anyway. I think at some point we're going to get in the next Batman movie. We're going to get probably a Joker in there. they're going to go to the well eventually because you can't have Batman without Joker.
Right.
Yeah. So
with the newest Batman that just came out, there was, I think I mentioned it already, there was a deleted scene that kind of showed, again, an unnamed character, but who clearly you can tell is going to be the Joker.
Yeah.
And just a very, you know, it's a 5-minute scene. It's all he gets. And I'm glad they left it out of the movie because I think it would have taken away from the performance of the Riddler in that movie as a different, speaking of performance of Riddler, that incredible compared to the way Jim Carrey took it. But you get 5 minutes of this guy in a deleted scene. And the history that they have together is like, I want to know more. You know, he's engaging Batman like, oh, it's our anniversary. I've missed you. Like, you know, it's just like, what is the story there? I want to know more. And I'm captivated that why is Batman kind of doing the whole like almost, you know, Silence of the Lambs thing, going to this Joker to figure out how to find the criminal that he's tracking down right now. What is that dynamic? And I hope they touch on it. It was a tease, obviously, in being a deleted scene, but I'm intrigued by what the relationship, not maybe so much the Joker, but what the relationship between these two are.
Well, now you've given me something I didn't know I wanted. I want to see Batgirl going to visit Joker in, like, an asylum so that they can solve crimes together.
That would be cool, right?
I'd watch that. Her Clarice Starling to his Hannibal Lecter, I would watch that. I think that'd be an interesting twist.
I feel like it's an interesting dynamic that they kind of laid the seed for. Like, is the next movie, is this going to be what it is? Is he going to be going to him to gain information? But at the same time, you know, you could tell Joker's kind of getting into him as well because Joker knows how to push Batman's buttons.
Yep.
He does. That's why he works so well as the villain.
Yep.
He knows how to get under his skin like nobody else does.
Mm-hmm.
The dynamic that these two shared between Robert Pattinson and Barry Keoghan, I think his name is, 5 minutes made me want to watch a whole movie of it. I'm very
Well, maybe we'll get it. The thing about deleted scenes, you can't guarantee that it's ever going to be considered continuity, but it's also a thing of sometimes these scenes get filmed, and then they're included in the next movie in some way.
Exactly.
So it's possible.
Like, are we going to get this a little bit, or is he going to be in the movie?
Could be the intro. Who knows?
The little sprinkle they gave there was enough to draw me in to see it. I very much enjoyed the most recent Batman. I thought it did a really good job kind of drawing DC out of the doldrums where it was. I know you disagree. I was impressed. I get the whole broody Batman, and I thought the same thing. But the city of Gotham in that movie really grabbed me. We talked about that being the best Gotham's being a character in the movie itself. And that Gotham felt like a shithole.
It had more personality, I will agree. I still argue about Robert Pattinson with his like guy liner and his My Chemical Romance. I think we're gonna have problems agreeing on that portion of it, and we could discuss at length like the things I feel about it. Like tying Riddler into Batman's backstory feels really weird, almost like just saying like, you know, like it's like saying Joe Cool became Joker, but also killed Batman's parents. Like, sometimes it's more interesting if your hero is not related to your villain. That gets back to what we were starting at the start. Like, by making the Riddler a connection to Batman, it almost makes him like the anti-Batman in that same way of Iron Man and Iron Monger. You know, he's creating the puzzles so that Batman can solve them. And I know that that's kind of what Riddler does, but they weren't designed specifically for Batman. But this feels like they were. It feels like he's just like Batman, but with a different costume. It bores me.
It's an interesting take, like, where you have, you know, the Joker creating Batman, so to speak, because of what he did with his kid, or as a kid to him, and his parents. But Batman now in this movie having the flip effect, creating the villain himself because of what his parents did. It's a different take.
It's not a dynamic I need. Batman doesn't need to go around, like, creating all his villains. Oh, you were in an orphanage with me, so now you hate me and want to be the Riddler. Oh, look, there's this guy. I've kicked him into a freezing vat in this, Glacier Store or whatever. Now he's gonna be Mr. Freeze. How many fucking guys is he gonna go around? Oh, look, there's an Egyptologist. You're now King Tut because I've wronged you somehow. But are you gonna go to a fucking calendar store at the end of the year and make the next calendar man? Come on, Batman. Like, we don't need you doing this for everyone, you know? Although, I've got to say, that's a better backstory for Calendar Man than anything else I've heard. So,
for sure.
If they're going to do that, they have to carry it all the way, and he has to go terrorize fast food restaurants so he can make Condiment King. That's all I'm saying, okay? The untold story of Condiment King on this year's Batman.
Fantastic.
Anyway, this is about Jokers. This isn't about Batman. It's going to be hard for someone to top Heath. And I think that's the big thing. The credit you can give to Jared Leto, is that he decided to go a different route. He went the wrong route. He went a shitty route. It was awful. He did do something different. So if we want to end on a positive note for Mr. Leto, we can end with that.
Yeah, it was different, it was unique, and it was strange, and we'll move along and leave it there.
Yeah. This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, sending all packages from Mr. Leto back to himself. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Anybody, Mike the Ghoul, getting out of here too. But before I do, you want to know how I got these scars?
I'm good, thanks. We will see you all next time.